none of you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down, hand over my crown, hand over my heart. I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. Turning the track up, I'll never go back down. Hand over my heart, I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is a talk show where we bring you the fun facts about fitness, health, diet, and exercise. This is episode number 89. I'm your host, Mike Ercolano, and I'm here with Kelly Krause and Deb Van Dusen.
Hello.
Hello.
And this is our second installment of our hacks, I guess. I think we called it the 10 Hacks of the Glucose Revolution, which was the book that the two of you read and decided to hack up the different hacks for the last couple weeks and wear some monitors.
We did our own experiments.
Yeah, so now we're coming back and talking about what you guys discovered. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, so how did your 2 weeks go?
I actually have to say I've worn a glucose monitor before, and before I was a little obsessive about it. This time I was not. Okay. I was just taking it as sort of like information and data, but I found it to be incredibly interesting. Like, you know, when you scan and you're thinking about what you're eating, it makes you much more conscious of what you're putting into your body, and you can kind of see, okay, this, you know, caused a spike, or this didn't cause a spike, or, oh, great, I exercised this day. I did think it was really funky that it, like, knew exactly when I exercised and, like, said how many calories I burned and how many miles I rode. I was like, this is...
So that was a Bluetooth connection to your Peloton? Is that what that was?
I don't know. I still don't know.
That's
a
little freaky.
They're tracking you.
That's a little freaky.
I know. Well, they track everything, so, you know. But but it was great to kind of get that information and get the data. And I want to wear one again at some point in time.
Yeah. I think it was definitely more fun having a reason to wear it, like doing the hacks versus just the first times that we wore it, just kind of trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Having those hacks to work against and see how things went is fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like even today, I was feeling really drowsy and I almost went to scan myself to be like, all right, where am I?
Yep.
Because that's when I found myself, like when I just felt off. That's when I would scan.
Yeah.
To be like, why do I feel like this? And I would be I would be high.
Right. And sometimes you think that it's because your blood sugar crashed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is actually what it feels like when my blood sugar's high. So
which is weird.
So you'd feel like lackadaisical.
Yeah. I feel very tired. Yeah. And I expect to scan it being low and it would be like super high.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about after that? Like once it started coming down, at least according to the monitor. Like, what would your energy levels be like?
Kind of just even out.
Okay.
But I also notice I feel like that when I'm dehydrated, too. Like, I feel very tired and fatigued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's a good point.
So, but that it's fun, like, when you started to feel weird.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, what's going on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
But it couldn't be any easier to use. Now, my grandma was a diabetic as she got older, and she had to do the finger prick thing, which that just has to suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, how many times a day did you scan?
At least 20.
Right.
So imagine pricking your finger that many times.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, because they had to draw blood in order to figure out how much glucose they had, you know, what their glucose
levels
were.
And let's point out also how easy this is to test your blood sugar, right? You just pop it on your arm. It's there for 2 weeks. How easy that is. And then think about all you had to do with that finger prick.
Yeah.
And by the way, the glucose monitors aren't covered under insurance. So imagine, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Imagine being a diabetic
and
having a tool like that. And how much did we pay? I mean, I got them black market.
Mm-hmm. But you know. But no, I mean, if you get them,
what was
like
it, $300
bucks
to get a subscription, to get them
Wait,
there's
a black market?
I'm still
trying to figure this out for a second.
So when we did it the first time, we were put in a NutriSense Facebook group. So you can join NutriSense and, like I said, have a subscription where they'll send you 2 monitors a month.
Okay.
So typical subscription thing, people get caught up in it and they stop using it. Mm-hmm. So I just put out there, does anybody have a monitor? You know, monitors are looking to, that they're not using. And some lady wrote me directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting them for her. You know, I think I paid $200 for two.
For two, yeah.
Which is still cheaper. The first time I did it, it was a deal. I think it was like $125.
Yeah.
Now they're looking for like $300.
Well, I think they're catching on that, you know, more people
are
interested in this. So, yeah.
Yeah, but come on.
I know.
It's so obnoxious.
I know.
capitalism.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about our actual hacks, what you did, what you found, all that kind of good stuff. You want to go first?
What's number one?
Eat food in order.
Oh, I did that one. Okay. So I'm pretty much a creature of habit. Like, some of my foods are kind of, you know, boring and bland, but that's, you know, whatever, it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did eat, like, so for example, if I had eggs and hard-boiled eggs and fruit, or eggs and bread, whatever it was, I would always find that if I ate the carbohydrate first, it wouldn't be a huge spike, but there would definitely be more of a spike. And then I also drink coffee in the morning, so the coffee then made it to be a bigger spike. But when I had my protein and I've been adding a lot of vegetables to my eggs, I found that there was like this little bump.
Yeah.
It was a blip, even if I had the fruit afterwards.
Yeah. Significant difference eating in order, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just in how you feel also, like I could even sense, there was one day where I had an oatmeal square with my shake and I scanned it and I was like, oh, okay then. Well, and I ate it out of order and there was a higher spike. And like, you know, I've found that for myself, when I'm spike in the morning or high in the morning, I tend to get more spiky throughout the rest of the day.
Right.
Whereas if it's, you know, more of like the rolling hills in the morning, then I tend to be a little bit more stable.
So that's like even more to the point that we have eat a savory breakfast. Like, if you start off on the right foot, you're good.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you don't, you're kind of screwed all day because you're up and down, up and down, up and down, which is a huge thing to think about when you're eating breakfast.
Sure.
Yeah. It is. Well, because, and you, if you think about it, and we talked about this the last time, I mean, a lot of like the standard American breakfast is like oatmeal and fruit. Like, you know, you think you're doing things that are good for your body and are healthy, and they are healthy, but if you're not pairing it with something, you're just going to get that spike.
Right.
And, you know, especially if we're doing Fruity Pebbles or whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Lots of people
add in
like
your cereal.
Yep.
Okay. Second one for you was add a green starter.
This one was interesting because there was actually one of the weeks that I was wearing a monitor, I had a lot of spinach that week, let me tell you. I had little salads even before I had like soup or something like that. And the soups were, you know, like I had pumpkin soup one day, which pumpkin does have a lot of sugar in it. And I found that if I had the green starter and ate that before and then had my protein, and it sort of goes back to, you know, the eating in order thing also, and then had my soup afterwards, that I had much more of like the rolling hills. Whereas if I had the soup first, there was definitely that spike. But I did try and eat greens more, you know, starting with a green starter and eating more vegetables that week. And I definitely found that I had more of these rolling hills throughout the day, which was kind of nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Now with the green starter, would you be doing that in the morning? Like adding would you have like a salad before your breakfast?
I usually add, like I would add, I just added spinach to my eggs, or I added a whole bunch of like chopped up vegetables to my eggs instead.
Mm-hmm. And then you would see a difference throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like with the with your spikes and hills and valleys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Yep.
So since we're talking about breakfast, I had flattened the breakfast curve.
Yeah.
So one day I had Honey Nut Cheerios, just like that they were talking about when they did that study. So I started out at 85 when I had my Honey Nut Cheerios, and then I went up to 113, which, you know, that's not a huge spike,
no,
but it's still a spike for me. It was a spike.
Yeah.
Now I had chicken for breakfast. I just literally threw leftover chicken in the fridge or in the microwave. And I started at 89 and I stayed at 89 for like a couple hours.
That's awesome.
There was literally nothing. And then I had pasta at lunch and it went to 129. But that, you know, that's exactly what they're talking about. You know, like, you don't have to eat sweets for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
And I don't a lot. I don't. Right. They talk about eating, you know, your leftover dinner. It fills me up more too.
It does. And then you start the day off feeling better, and then you kind of have more energy throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm just fuller longer. It just fills me up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So which one was that?
That was flatten the breakfast curve.
Okay. All right, so 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. What do we got? What was our next one? Dessert over sweet snack. This was mine too.
Mm.
So, do you guys know these Muddy Buddy things? It's a new type of I don't know, candy or dessert, but it's the bottom half of an ice cream cone. It looks like the bottom half of an ice cream cone, and it's filled with chocolate. So it tastes just like the bottom of an ice cream cone filled with nice chocolate.
Yeah.
So I had a serving size of that.
Wait, are they frozen?
No. Because there's no ice cream involved. It's just the cone and the chocolate.
Gotcha.
Huh. They're delicious.
Sound good.
I've never heard of these before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely a newer thing.
Yeah.
So I had those regular. Just it was during the middle of the day. I hadn't eaten anything. And I started out at 100 and I went up to 140. Just by eating a serving of them, which I think was like 4 or 5.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Then I had dessert. So now I ate something sweet after dinner.
Yep.
So I had dinner and then I had a Cinnabon. And I started at 100 and I went to 96. Like it went down. So I had my whole
with
dinner.
With a Cinnabon?
Well, there's a word the kids know. It's Cinnabon. I don't know, but it literally
like
was. Like, yeah, it's bites.
The bites.
Cinnabon bites.
Oh.
It was like the Cinnabon brand.
Dude, that's like.
Yes, sweetness. And by the way, I'll never buy them again. I was so excited, like, yes, there's a reason to eat this. And it sucked. It wasn't good.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't good at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just over that kind of sweetness stuff anymore. But it just really, I was disappointed in my experiment because I was hoping it was going to taste better.
Yeah.
But again, to prove the point, eating dessert after a full dinner is better than just eating a sweet snack at a random time during the day.
Yeah. Because then you've got more stuff in your stomach. Because, we talked about that, the sink.
We got the sink.
The kitchen sink.
The kitchen sink. See, exactly. Mike remembers.
I do.
All right, vinegar first. Tell me.
I have to tell you, that vinegar, that works.
Yeah.
So I had.
Because you throw up afterwards and you don't want to eat anything?
Good point. That's an excellent point. So you just take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and put it into water and pretty much shoot it and, hope that you don't lose your marbles. And then I actually had a cupcake after, so similar to what you had done, and there really wasn't much of anything. I actually also tried it once before having pizza, and there really wasn't much of, it was like a little up, but it wasn't what we would consider a spike. So for me that hack worked quite well.
Did you want to? Tell me. I think it's 2 tablespoons of vinegar.
I just did 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and then I put in. I mean, I just do like a little bit of water.
Oh, really? You did it like a shot.
I did. Huh. I've done it with the big glass, and it just prolongs the whole thing.
I think I have to do it with 8 ounces. Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like puking for the next 2 hours.
Well, I know, and that's the thing. But you have to then clean your palate out with water or whatever, and then eat whatever it is that you're going to eat. Otherwise, it's blah.
So it was apple cider vinegar. Was it with the mother? With the mother?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it can't be the gummies because a lot of people will go for the apple cider gummies.
No, you can't.
But you can't do the gummies. Right. It's got to be.
There's probably sugar in the gummies.
Yeah. No, so this was straight. Now, they do, say you can make your own, but.
Your own gummies? No. Apple cider gummies?
No, apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
But I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no. I'll just buy it.
Exactly. Yeah. I will buy the with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
I had sugar is sugar, right?
Yeah.
I really didn't do anything definitive for that, but you said you have an example.
I do. So the protein bar that I eat, and it is because, one of the things about bars is that a lot of them are, even though it says protein bar, it's actually, if you look at the ingredients, it's more carbs than it is protein. But the bar that I have has cane sugar in it. And so sometimes I'll eat it or eat a half of it just to sort of tide me over or whatever. And I would notice that I would get spikes. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's a decent balance here.
How many grams of sugar was in the bar? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Sorry.
Not a lot. But it has
Thanks for being prepared for the show.
I know. I'm
Appreciate
sorry.
It.
Sorry. But I have one right out there. So if you want me to.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's fine.
No, I know.
I mean, we could imagine, 6'12", somewhere probably
exactly
around there.
Something
it's not like you're eating a candy bar.
But no, that is true. But it would cause a spike and a pretty significant one. And even though there's a decent balance of, proteins and carbs and fat in there, it still causes a spike. And I think it's just because the cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And before I read this book, I was like, oh, well, cane sugar is a better
form of sugar.
Right? But yeah, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It still causes a spike.
At least in terms of, your blood sugar spiking, right?
Correct.
It might have more, better trace minerals in it or whatever. It might have some better health benefits, but in terms of your blood sugar spiking. It doesn't matter if it's super healthy sugar like fruit or whatever. If you think cane sugar is healthy, I guess it's healthier, quote unquote, healthier than other sugar.
Yeah.
But like you said, it doesn't matter. Sugar. It's going to make it spike. Sugar.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of hidden sugar, so one of the things I did notice, I had two major spikes. I was up around 140, 145. Okay. That only happened twice.
Hmm.
Once was I ate four barbecue boneless wings. They were Courtney's leftovers. And I mean, they were literally swimming in barbecue sauce. Like I even looking at them in the thing, but I was dying for protein. I was starving. There was four of them left. I'm like, let me just eat these. And it wasn't even part of my experiment. And then when I checked it, I was like, holy, I mean, it was like Everest.
Yeah.
It was like, it was straight up and then straight down.
Yep.
Well, barbecue sauce.
Yeah, yeah, barbecue sauce.
And I
loaded with sugar.
Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. Crazy.
Yeah.
But even looking at it, it was like swimming in it. Like I almost was like, I should just wipe this off. Yeah. Just get lazy.
Where's it from?
Like, Mondo's.
Oh, I don't even know what that
and
is.
And I do love Mondo's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in Randolph. He's a good dude. But yeah, Courtney loves them.
Mm.
And they do. It tastes like candy.
Right. Well,
Yeah.
Obviously, your body responds like candy,
absolutely.
Too.
It was exactly. What the heck is this? And here I'm thinking, oh, good protein. Right?
Right.
It was like, no.
So it's like when you drown your protein. Cross
that off.
Stuff, mm-hmm. You negate the protein.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a good one. Deb, yeah. You had this one. Move after you eat.
Yeah. So I think it might have been the second day that I had had the monitor in, and I had come into the gym and I told Kelly, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this whole cupcake before I work out thing. And I tell you, there was nothing. It was like I hadn't even eaten anything. Mm-hmm. It was similar to your having the dessert after mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. a meal. I mean, I was absolutely amazed. And I was like, okay, I worked out for an hour and, you know, I was pushing weight, but I'm like, okay, let me try some other things. You know, walking most definitely helps, like especially if mm-hmm. you're walking for 20 minutes after or doing brisk exercise, you know, riding on the Peloton definitely helped too. But I will tell you on the time that, so, you know, we did the test or we did the hacks and then we had to do it without mm-hmm. the, you know, without whatever the hack was. And the one time, actually the two times when I had done things without the hacks, when my blood sugar spiked, and I had told you this too, it took me almost an entire day for my blood sugar to then regulate itself. Mm-hmm. So my highest spike was probably 153. Number one, I felt like garbage. I just felt like sluggish and I just wanted to, I don't know, crawl up into it. But you just feel tired and lethargic.
Yeah.
And so you want, like you... It and like I said, it took me almost a full day to recuperate from that. So if you're thinking about, you know, when people are eating and eat spike after spike after spike after spike, like no wonder why some people feel like crummy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot to do with that.
Because they actually never regulate. It's not necessarily just one thing,
right?
If you're eating like that all day and not paying any attention to it, you're never going to catch up.
No. Mm-hmm.
It turns into a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Because then you look for it more, and then it gets worse, and you look for it more, and it's a vicious cycle. And like you said, if you're not aware of it, I mean, that's how the standard American eats, right? It's just probably going to the, I mean, who knows if people go in the offices anymore, but go to the office break room, and it's just like crap, right? It's candy, you know, candy machines everywhere. Like that's how the standard American snacks throughout the day in between their 2 to 3 crappy meals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense why people feel the way they do.
Well,
there's a lot of depression. I mean, I don't know if we talked about it last show or whatever, but you know, depression's not only is it a you know, genetic thing, but it could also be something that's you know, environmentally, you know, driven on and mm-hmm. you know, through your food and your environment, and you know, that could be a big part of it, because depression, I mean, depression diagnosis just continue to rise every year, you know, especially since COVID. But you know, the food have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
On top of feeding all the bad bacteria in your gut,
mm-hmm.
like, ooh, sugar, yay.
Right.
Let's wreak havoc.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to pay attention to it if you really want to get off it or see how it's affecting you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about my other spike, because that was interesting too. I had, it was after the day after our bonfire.
Okay.
So it was a Sunday.
Yeah.
Lunchtime. And I, you know, I had a lot of fun at the bonfire. I wasn't, you know, I felt all right the next morning, but I was craving bad food.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the diner, and my favorite, I got a cheeseburger, mm-hmm. French fries, and a soda. because I just wanted it.
Yeah.
That spiked me up. I was, because I ate the whole roll. Normally I cut it in half and put half the burger and, you know.
Yep.
I ate the whole roll. Mm-hmm. I, you know, ate my fries. I drank my soda and I was up around 150.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, holy smokes.
Yep. And how long did it take you to come down from that?
About 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Everything's like a 2 hour, it feels like. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 hours to hit you. It takes 2 hours to come down.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't really thinking. I wasn't eating it thinking like, "Ooh, let's see what this does to me."
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I was just jonesing for it. I was like, "Holy smokes!" So I had two, and you know how when it spikes you and it puts you in the next color?
Yes.
That happened twice with the wings and with that. Yep. And I felt so bad about myself.
I know. You're like, "Oh, I went into bad color." Yeah. I am now in the dark zone.
Right, right. But, you know, again, it was such a great tool to use for those reasons. But again, it can become obsessive.
Yes.
But now with that, like, the knowledge of the book made it a lot more fun to kind of track what was going on there.
Yeah. And when you look at it as information and data as opposed to, like, you know, like the way I looked at it the first time where I was constantly like, I just ate this.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Which is unhealthy, right? You don't want to have that type of relationship with it either.
Exactly. Yep.
And our last one, Deb, was yours, was put some clothes on your carbs.
Yeah, right.
What'd you think about that?
So it definitely helps, especially if you're having like a protein and a fat and then you're having your carb, like that helped. Even with the, you know, going back to the first hack of eating food in order, mm-hmm. like when I had my protein before I had whatever it was, whether it be fruit or toast, it most certainly helped when you have something on it. Actually, one of the best meals that I sort of found, and it goes back to breakfast, was eggs with my vegetables and then avocado toast.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a nice, even breakfast.
Yeah. And I think crossing everything off the list, too.
Yeah.
Got your proteins, you got your fats, you got your good carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, like, you know, that was the best.
The problem
one.
With that is having a ripe avocado at the right time.
I know, at the right time. Exactly.
It really is hard.
Yep.
I've given up on avocados.
You have?
I don't even. I'm. They're too much work.
They are a lot of work.
It's really quite the commitment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys know the hack about pulling a little belly button off in the store, right?
No.
No?
What? No?
No.
So I feel bad doing it, but like, so on an avocado, it's like a little belly button that sticks out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you pop that off, you can see the inside of the avocado. Now, mostly you can tell by, like, you know.
By the feel of it.
I don't want to say molesting it, but kind of molesting it.
Yeah. Feeling them up.
You can tell. Mm-hmm. But if you pop off that little belly button, you can see inside.
Well, the fruit aisle is very sexual.
Ooh. Apparently.
It is.
Yeah. Lots of feeling and touching and, you know.
I guess. Those tomatoes do.
That meal. It's true.
All right. So out of all of these hacks, right, all these things we know, what are you mostly going to move forward with?
Eating food in order.
Mm-hmm.
Adding green starters, because it's just good to get in more greens.
Why not?
I mean, people don't get enough fiber in their diet, so this is a great way to get it in. And every so often, the apple cider vinegar one.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess putting... maybe all of mine.
What were the other three?
And putting clothes on my carbs and making sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll go with the eating in order. Same thing. Eating greens before and moving after you eat. I think that's huge.
It is huge.
And I wish I had done that. I wish I'd been paying attention enough to have done that after my burger meal, because I would have liked to have seen how that would have curtailed that. So now I'll just have to eat the burger meal again and do it again.
And do it again.
As my next one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to see. But yeah, I think those are the ones that are easy enough, sustainable, easy ones to live by.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And I have a nutrition call with a girl in Hoboken tomorrow, and I think that's going to be one of my main points is talking about eating in order.
Yeah.
You know, let's get those veggies. Get them gone
first. Yeah, get those veggies in. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It never hurts to, you know, kind of have that mentality when you're sitting down to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it comes to, like, moving after, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like, it could be a 10-minute walk after you eat. It could be, you know, do 5 minutes of some squats and push-ups or something, you know, that gets your heart rate up. Maybe something that's, you know, some resistance training, like body weight resistance training. It's all it really takes. It doesn't, you don't have to go for a full workout every time you eat.
No. But, well, like, Deb and I live in the perfect neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And she lives on one side of the neighborhood. I'm on the other one. It's a U of hills. So if I walk over to Deb's, I go down a hill, straight over, and then up a hill. Yep. And she would do the same. So it's like the perfect walk.
Yeah,
the perfect walk.
Yeah, you get a downhill, you get an uphill. Mm-hmm. So, and then your body can absorb the glucose there. Your muscles can use it. And then it never hits your bloodstream, which is good.
Yeah, and I think the most important meal of the day to really try to make that a habit is dinner, right? Because you really want to control that glucose before bedtime. Not that if you had to pick one meal a day, like you should make it a habit if you can to do it after every meal, all right, go for a 10-minute walk, do whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you could really only fit it in, if you could only find 10 minutes a day because you're super busy, you know, build that into after your dinners. Because then at least you're regulating that glucose before you go to bed. You could kind of start that digestion process and hopefully, you know, be able to level out all your hormones. Because, again, glucose is a hormone or insulin's a hormone. You know, level all those out before you go to bed. So,
Yeah. So that's our findings of our scientific experiments on ourselves.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Would you recommend the average person spending $200 to $300 and trying it out for a month or a couple weeks? Or
I would recommend first reading The Glucose Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just to see if you're interested. Like I'm like, Kim, my sister, I'm like, you got to read this book. And she's like, and she's a nurse, so she's all up in that. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, no, I'm good. And I mean, it was one of those books that I just couldn't put down. It was such a great read.
Yeah.
So I would recommend reading the book first. And if you find it interesting, you find that it's something you want to do, then I would recommend it.
Yeah. Cool.
Or if you think you have issues, you know, whether you eat too much sugar or you feel like sugar affects you a certain ways, definitely worth trying out.
Yeah. Because it gives you information that you don't necessarily know because, you know, we can't always see inside of our bodies. So.
Right.
All you know is your fasting glucose levels when you get your blood work done. That's all you got.
Right. And
that's after fasting.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's high, then you're in trouble. But if it's normal, all
right. Right. Then, but, you know, as she even talks about in the book, like with the cereal experiment that they did.
I mean,
those people had normal fasting glucose levels, but yet they were still seeing spikes with the breakfast that they were eating. So,
I know, Cheerios.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's a response to what you're eating. So you might be fasted, and it's great. Like, just like you said, like it doesn't really show too much when it comes to how you're responding to food.
Yeah.
And I think I just want to make this point. We talked about it last time, our last show, and it's not necessarily like in a vacuum that your spikes are bad, right? Like, we're not saying that. You know, stay away from oatmeal for breakfast because your blood sugar might spike a little bit. Like, there's still a lot of benefits to a lot of foods that might spike your blood sugar.
Oh, yeah.
The goal of these shows and of this experiment is to learn how to regulate that, right? Like, you know, if you have a candy bar, if you have dessert, awesome. Like, we want you to live your life, but go for a 10-minute walk afterwards. Like, it's not it's
just
not that hard to implement things to help you stay a little bit healthier and still enjoy your life. Like, will one, you know, 150 or whatever, 160 spike from eating one crappy meal when you're hungover kill you? No. Is that going to make a difference in your long-term health? No. If you do it every day, yes, it will.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, don't get crazy with it, but use it as a way to better your overall approach to health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Just another thing to think about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just information. I mean, it tells you how your body's reacting to food, and the more information you have about your body, the better you can, you know, manage and regulate and make choices. 100%.
We were just talking about that before with one of our clients who was talking about getting blood work done, like, outside of his regular, you know, checkups, yearly checkups or whatever.
Yeah.
And we highly encourage getting full blood work screens. You know, like Kelly said, we're working with a local doctor now, hopefully, and we'll be able to, you know, refer people to people we trust with that. But it's important to know what's going on in your body, because as you guys figured out, like, yes, you might feel a little bit crappy, but it's 2 hours after the spike, or it's 2 hours after you eat, right? Like, so there's not always a direct correlation to what you're doing to the immediate results. So things happen over time, right? Like, if you're spiking your blood sugar every day, you're not going to get diabetes in a week, right?
No.
But you might develop it over a couple of years, so it happens over time. And being able to monitor what's going on and make adjustments is super important.
So
it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Thank you for introducing me to the book.
You're welcome.
I loved it. I had a great time. I learned so much, and it made our experiments super fun.
It did, and it gave you, you know, more of a reason to scan because you're like, oh,
right, now I knew what I was doing.
Exactly.
And wear tank tops and show your arms off.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, we do appreciate the both of you being our experiment for the past couple of weeks and putting your bodies on the line for science. And
But
it is cool. A lot of good information. If anyone has questions on any of this, whether it comes with, the monitor, using the monitor, or even just nutrition in general, you can reach out to us at NextGen. I know Kelly, you're probably the best person to reach out to. So mm-hmm. on Instagram, Kelly.
KCrowse76.
It's always in our show notes. Send her a message there. Ask any questions. And,
Deb and I would love to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deb, your Instagram will be in the show notes too. But what is it? Is that a good way to contact you? No.
Sure.
You're looking at me.
No.
She's wondering what her name is.
I'm actually trying to remember your phone number in there, said
home address, social security number.
I think it's at Deb C. Van, but I know that there's an underscore underneath there.
All right. We'll figure it out. It'll be in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes.
See, there you go.
So, but yeah, it's ask away, because that's what we do. We're here to help. And, obviously these two ladies are very experienced and professionals in this, so they could definitely help you. But if you're not going to contact, then the least you could do is leave us a 5-star review, and you could hit that subscribe button. We really would appreciate more subscribers so we could help, like I just said, help as many people as we can. So that's it. Ladies, any final thoughts before we go?
No.
All right. Silence says it all.
Yeah. Pay attention to your body. That's all I got.
And crickets.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you to our listeners, and we hope everyone enjoys weekend, day, whenever you're listening to this, and hope everyone be as well. Bees well. Hope everyone is well. Be well. Whatever. You get,
be well,
you know what I'm saying. Time to turn this off.